OK, we've a lot of issues to get through that affect the Lifford-Stranorlar electoral area. Thank you so much for all of your contacts, but just didn't want to rush people on a very important issue, of course, that is the one of defective concrete. And just before we were heading there towards the break for news, Charles Ward, running for 100% redress, indicated he wanted to come back in there. Charles? Sorry, was it you, Frank?
No, Charles wanted to come on back first. But
okay, yeah, go ahead, Charles. Okay.
So, I'll explain to you now what Rebecca was saying about, you know, the semi-detached houses. I've been in a number of estates where they're affected, okay? And it's detached, semi-detached, okay? So, what you have is, this is how disjointed this whole process is. So, there's a cul-de-sac in Stranorlar, and in that cul-de-sac, every single house is affected. And you go to the first one at the top is for demolition. This one's waiting. This one's for remediation. All the way down, demolition. Ones at the bottom can't get on it. Next door are on it. These houses now...
Some can't afford it too, I presume.
Most of them can't afford it.
Yeah.
But I'll come back to that in a second. But what happens here is these people's houses will have to be separated. You know? It's a semi-detached house. It has to be detached and rebuilt. And they say... on existing foundations. Anybody doing remediation needs to be aware of this. It's not going to work. When you remediate your house outer leaf, you're given a 40-year guarantee, right? Okay? That house currently isn't insurable or mortgageable. And people need to be made aware of this. So when they're getting in, it's a trap.
Do you discourage people from going on this scheme?
Me personally, I think people should wait.
Okay. Frank, you wanted to come back in there? Frank McBurty Jr.?
I wanted to come back on an issue here that was a statement was made here that this will be resolved in the Dáil, this scandal. This scandal will not be resolved in the Dáil. There's only one thing the Dáil can do in this scandal is establish a public inquiry, which should have been established long before now. But the only place that this is going to be resolved is in the courts. Now, there's plenty of evidence of many other scandals that has happened where the courts have resolved those issues. And I don't have to be repetitive about the Morris Tribunal, which I spent 8 years of my life in, and what it exposed, and what was also exposed in court cases that ran side by side with the Morris Tribunal. But we need a public inquiry, but the judicial review is the most important thing we're doing as homeowners. And the 16 homeowners that I'm involved with will explain that on the 31st of May in the Volthouse in Raphoe when we have the first public information evening about what we're doing with that judicial review.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want to go back, and this is the most important issue in my opinion. This scandal hasn't even started. This is the Raphoe Community Playgroup forensic test results by K Design and Petrolab in the UK. Petrolab have tested over 2,000 properties in this county that have all identified with the mineral pyrrhotite and other sulfates. And the fact is that Petrolab is the scientific experts that have exposed this scandal for what it is today. Not anybody else. It's Petrolab who have tested for 4.5 years properties that have been sold, properties that are entering the scheme. 800 of those 2,000 reports are in the 90-10 scheme, which have now been pushed over to the enhanced scheme, which doesn't allow testing until the housing agency states that what testing you get after the building condition assessment. So I have to reiterate the fact that the Dáil won't resolve this. And what I would really like to know is why the senior politicians in this county are actually scared to debate with me and others on a judicial review. 2-3 years. A judicial review will take weeks once the High Court gives leave to deal with that judicial
review. Tony McDade, just to give you an opportunity to come back on that before we move on, I'll give everyone who wants in an opportunity. But Tony, two things. Judicial review dismissed that it would take 2-3 years, dismissed that you have to be personally affected by it, and also to questioned whether or not the Dáil is actually the place that will be the resolution to this crisis.
I don't agree with Frank. I still believe that's not the right approach.
Okay.
And good luck to anybody who's taking it on. As regards Pearce and Podrick, as I say, the legislation states that you have to demonstrate that you are significantly affected by the issue. They aren't. And as far as I'm aware, neither are any Sinn Féin councillors.
Okay, well, listen, at the end of the day, that's your position. Frank has a different position, and we're not going to resolve that here.
I just want to clarify something. And the clarification is, they're our legislators. Mm-hmm. They represent us, and they can take whatever judicial reviews they want
by
against
proxy,
legislation.
Then, presumably.
Yes, and they've done it in the past.
Adjunct. Okay, I get you. Do you want a last word on this, Garvin? Garvin Connolly of Fine Gael?
No, I think, as I said before, this has to be addressed, 100% redressed, and I mean, it has gone on too long. I mean, if people's mental health and well-being, their homes or castle, and it has to be something drastically done about it. Mm. And I agree with Frank and Sarah's only help.
Rebecca?
I mean, there's no need to.
We'll move on to other things. I know that's okay. I just want everyone to get a fair crack at this.
Sorry, can I just say something?
Briefly, Charles.
Yeah, briefly. I'll say the people's document has a judicial review in it. So that's part of it too, you know. That's why that's what I'm supporting. You know, I understand everybody's points. That's
exactly. And listen, every people are going to have difference of opinion, and they're going to believe that they are correct in it.
IS-465 is the elephant in the room.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Just to go around the table, because a couple of people want me to ask and to get it on the record. Rebecca, are you calling, or would you be in favour of complete demolition?
I think there's no other way around it, Greg.
Okay, Garvin, complete demolition.
Yeah, complete demolition. I think Frank, he handed it in their blocks and takes on the bears.
Subfloor blocks.
And the foundations. Yes.
Foundations, yeah. All gone.
Absolutely.
Right. Tony McDade, you would agree with that, Frank? You would agree
Estimate
with that,
has
obviously?
To be compulsory. Yeah. Scientific evidence cannot be superseded by circumstantial evidence. If your property tests positive for pyrrhotite and other sulfates, it's full demolition, including foundations. Yeah. And if you don't test the foundations, if you're entering the scheme, you must take it out.
Charles Ward, obviously, I mean,
I 100% agree with all that there. Okay. Everybody is correct.
Right, listen, I'm not saying
the public, stop calling it Mica.
Yeah, but the one thing
effective I would, concrete.
The one thing I would say about that is that I think people call every vacuum cleaner a Hoover.
No, defective concrete.
I know that, but I don't think people are...
You don't blame something that's not causing
I know, but the thing is that the way I look at it is if I hear people at a public meeting talking about the Mica scandal,
they're talking about it. I know, about Mica.
But it's just become a generic term for the crisis.
No, it's not generic. I know, they've been brainwashed.
That's what it's become.
We were advised, including myself, advised that Mica was causing the structural defects.
Charles, do you get the point I'm making in relation to that?
It's not
scientifically accurate.
Yeah.
It's just become a catch-all.
It's the brand. And
it's not a brand.
No,
it's
but
a false brand.
I know, I understand
it.
But if we had...
It's been promoted by Donegal County Council.
But I prefer RTE to say Mica instead of defective concrete than not say anything at all.
No,
that would just
RTE's
be
a
my
joke.
Position.
The primetime videos, the primetime programmes were an absolute disgrace.
Okay. A lot of people across the electoral area are concerned about, and these are affected people affected by this crisis, those looking to come home, those who want to live in the area, the lack of available accommodation. Rebecca, is this coming up for you on the doorstep that people feel there aren't proper, not just defective concrete, right across the board? We'll broaden it out a little bit. Rebecca McDade of Vane 2.
It's everywhere, Greg.
Yeah, so talk to me. What do you think is the problem? What do you think can be done? Obviously, some of this outside the control of the council, but listen, these are the issues people will be voting on, even if we have to accept that maybe a councillor can't change it.
Yeah. Well, at the end of the day, you're looking at... There's loads of empty property around, and we need to try and get those fixed and ready and habitable for people. You can't force anybody to do anything with their property, but there certainly should be certain enhancements there. You know, something there to encourage them. Because a lot of people's position is, with the way things are going now and the cost of everything, a lot of them don't have the money to actually do up their house. So they don't have, you know, for any house that's been left sitting for a while, people will struggle to have the money to actually fix them up and have them habitable. So we need to try and do something around that. The other thing is, and I brought it up last night actually at a meeting, is that Donegal is not yet included in the local authority affordable housing scheme. Now you'd have to beg the question as to why that would be the case.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to try and get that investigated a little bit more.
Well, I'll bring you back in on this one. Garvin, obviously, I presume this is coming up to you as well. Like, just as we speak, can you ask who's getting the news houses that are nearly finished on Trust Grove, Ballybofey? People are, I'm not expecting anyone to have a specific answer to that, but the point is, you know, people now, even when houses become available, they wonder if they're going to be used to service the waiting lists.
Yeah, local pop. I mean, social housing was one of the things that was a... I mean, I actually live on a council estate. It was built in 1957. It was built for £1,100. You have St Union's Terrace and the Full. You have a number of terraces at Crohan Heights. You have a number of terraces throughout the county. Back in the 50s and the 60s, when Ireland was classified as a poor country. I mean, the whole, in terms of the Celtic Tiger year, the whole social housing kind of has gone, disappeared. And one of the things now over the... I mean, there's a number of projects taking place and Ryan purchased in Donegal by the council. I mean, Frank would probably be, being a councillor, would be able to go into it in more detail. It's one of the things that will have to be addressed in terms of affordable social housing and have things available. I mean, I work in the farming sector, and I mean, there's a lot of elderly farmers that passes away, etc., and have incentives so those houses will be bought by the council and maybe done a bit of work to, or have some sort of grant so the people in the local area can be brought back again here.
There seems to be a consistent message coming from candidates from across Donegal that the solution to this issue, Tony McDade, is obviously, you know, more social housing, but bringing vacant and derelict properties back into use. I mean, is that what you would see as the solutions?
Certainly. It's the number one issue that I'm facing on the doorsteps.
What are people saying to you?
Well, they're saying we can't afford to build, we can't afford to buy, we can't afford to rent. Simple as that. Now, Donegal needs more affordable housing. I think we all would agree to that. But and the government parties are failing that. Indeed, the government party's own commission on housing was released in the last few days as a damning report on the government themselves. Poor decision making, chaos, bad use of public money, including nearly 10 billion euros given as subsidies to landlords. That 10 billion euro would have built 40,000 houses for families and workers. We have record rents, record house prices, record homelessness. Well, what needs to be done is the housing crisis, it can be fixed by bringing down the cost of homes, bringing down rents.
How would you do that?
And increasing supply.
I mean, we'd love to do that. I would love to, you know, rub a magic bottle and all of a sudden house prices come down, but people want to know how that's going to happen. Did we ever think we'd ever be in a situation that houses right across the county, you know, rents for 12, 13, 1400 euro? I mean, it's just 600 euro not so long ago used to be expensive. Rebecca, did you want to come back in there?
Yeah.
And of course, everyone's going to get a word.
If you look at the price of houses in Letterkenny, like going back to say 2014, you could buy a house in say Ardadonnell area of Letterkenny here, and that could be maybe and needing refurbished for anywhere between 50,000 and 70,000 at that stage. But that same house will cost you minimum of 200,000 to maybe 220 today. That's what people are working on. And if you, like my own niece actually in Galway, wanted to build her own house, they had their own site and had no debt and was living at home. Both of them were living at home. And the bank made them take out a loan to prove that they could pay a debt. So they actually put this young couple into debt before ever they started their money for their home to pay a mortgage.
Unfortunately, I've done that with my own children because I think it's important to build up a record.
I think that is absolutely scandalous
that the bank should
do that.
Indeed, and then people are being refused mortgages for 1,000 euro, yet they're paying 2,000 euro in rent all of the time. And that's not counted, and I just don't understand why in terms of affordability. Frank McBurty, two issues here: the lack of housing available, but also, you know, the cost of rent. What are people on the doorsteps saying to you about this issue?
Well, first of all, this is an issue that I have a forensic knowledge of, and I deal with these type of issues daily. The housing section in Ireland is broken, full stop. Price to build a house, and everybody knows I come from a building background before I ever went into politics. The cost for a contractor to build a property and because of the cost of living crisis we're all suffering from today has quadrupled the cost of building a home in Donegal and every part of Ireland the same. Now, to build a house in Donegal today, you can't actually sell that house for what it's costing to build it. So that's one problem that has to be resolved. And the government is the only people that can actually resolve that by bringing in affordable housing. Secondly, HAP, which is a substitute for people getting a council house, is broken. It should be scrapped because the limit, the threshold limit of what you get, the average rent now in Donegal for a three-bedroom house is anything between €1,000 and €1,400. Now, I've heard people in Letterkenny say they're even paying €1,800 mm-hmm. for a three-bedroom house. Now, if you're a family of four, you get just under €500 towards your rent under the HAP system. Now, when you become a HAP tenant, you become automatically registered on the housing list. But the problem is, there is no housing to house people who are actually in HAP.
So what, when you say you scrap HAP, what do you replace HAP with, though?
You replace it with a proper threshold where you give people the proper amount of money that is going to allow them to afford to rent the house.
Is that not just further lining the pockets of landlords and then the rents increase because there's more money available?
The house is costing €1,000, right? And you're a low-income family and you're having to pay your HAP to Donegal County Council, say 500 is the figure. Well, that landlord is taking another 500 off you privately, mm-hmm. which he doesn't have to pay tax on.
But just on relation to that, Frank, though, if we increase the amount of money available, and I'm not in any way for or against, I don't know, it's just a question.
But these people are paying the council. They're not getting this for free. But the people are not getting this money for free. They're paying the HAP payment to Donegal County Council.
Yeah, no, but just
but
in terms of
then they have
to
find another €500 right, euro to okay. pay the landlord.
Right. Tony McDade,
I'm not finished on the housing aspect of
well,
this.
You're not finished, but we have to give everyone
houses,
an opportunity
you're talking
to
about
speak.
Council houses, right? We have 10 council houses ready to go and are full that have been lying dormant now for a year and a half because the contractor went bust. Now, that shouldn't happen in a council-organised mm-hmm. job. There should have been a criminal investigation into that.
We'll get back to that in a second. I want to talk about housing availability and affordability, and we can certainly get into individual cases.
And I mean, there's a policy that was passed in January 2023, which you know about, in Donegal County Council, that is now restricting people buying their homes under the tenants' purchase scheme.
Yeah, for sure, and we've covered that extensively. What do you think is the cause of the rental housing crisis, Charles Ward? Because, as I say, of course, like there's many people that need housing, not least those who have to move out of their house.
Yeah, so it's affordability, okay? It's the planning, everything needs to be scrapped. Everything needs, they need a total review in Ireland about how they build housing, how they have to take into consideration now. There's a thing called modular homes. Norway, Sweden, all these countries that are on the North Atlantic coast do not have necessarily concrete buildings, but they have houses that are there hundreds of years that are built. We need to start looking outside the box. We need to start looking at availability, speed and price. But in this country, there's a thing where there's a greed with contractors, with governments. You know, building a house should not cost more than it is the value of. It shouldn't be. And if that's the case, then the system is broken.
Mm-hmm. Does anyone have any concerns that sort of increasing payments to private landlords would just be effectively an excuse for landlords to push up the rents? Or would you all be in favour of increased payments to private landlords through HAP?
There was a restriction put on landlords putting up rent increases, but they done away with that.
Yes.
After COVID, thank God COVID's now gone, but is it really gone? There needs to be out of the box thinking done by our legislators to legislate properly in Dáil Éireann to deal with this housing crisis that we're suffering from. And this is really all down to the cost of living crisis that we're all suffering from.
In your area, I'll start with you, Rebecca, and this is not trying to stir or anything, but is there concern amongst those that you're talking to that there is no solution for issues like this because maybe the powers that be are more focused on housing people moving to Ireland?
Well, that is certainly an issue if you're talking about the immigration. You know, Greg, it's
like, what are people saying to you?
Well, there's a lot of frustration out there because they tell you what they see in front of them. they will have their own families who are needing housing and they're not getting it. And they do see other people getting accommodation, actually some of it fixed to the highest standard, air to water, that has been mentioned to me. And it's causing a deep unrest with the people. And it is something that there needs to be a lot more transparency on. And at the end of the day, if property can be fixed for people who are coming into our country who are not Irish citizens, well, then we have got to provide that same service to our own people and our Irish citizens.
Is that coming up in your area, Tony McDade of Sinn Féin?
No, it's not. The issue of immigration is coming up, certainly.
Yeah, but that's what we're talking about.
I think we need to understand that social housing is social housing. For people on the council housing list, there's scaremongering out there about council houses that are coming to completion. You mentioned the Trust Road there earlier on. It's the same in Lifford. We've had another candidate who was standing outside these houses saying quite clearly that all these houses will be allocated to immigrants. That can't happen. That won't happen.
Why is that not then? If that is misinformation, as you seem to be framing it, why is there no transparency then, or people being informed? Why are the communities sort of in the absence of knowing what's going to happen, allowing themselves or being, you know, whipped up and being fearful or angry? You know, why does the council not articulate this to people and ease concerns where needs be?
Well, I can't speak for the council, but I know when we've been canvassed on the doorstep.
Do you have an opinion?
When we canvassed on the doorstep, this is coming up. Particularly, there's one estate in Lifford there where there's an older population of people, and they've heard the story about the houses opposite them are going to be allocated to immigrants, migrants. But we've reassured them that that's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, we've told them on the doorstep, and we're repeatedly telling people on the doorstep that social housing is for people who are on the council housing list. Full stop.
Yes, but obviously then there are question marks over the ownership of properties. There are developments that have started, and there was a verbal agreement with the developer that these would become social housing, and then they're not becoming social housing. So it gets very confusing, and that's why I think things need to be explained a little bit more to them. Is this coming up much for you, Garvin Connolly of Fine Gael?
Yeah, small bits. You know, I mean, the terms of immigrants and actual housing, etc. I mean, private landlords, we cannot stop private landlords what they actually do. I mean, in terms of who they rent their property to. I mean, one of the things is, in terms of the social housing, we need more units built under. And in terms of the council, they need to make it quite transparent. I mean, like the Tusk development, I think, is going to be, that units will be coming locally to the people in the area, and some elderly people believe, isn't it? So, I mean, in terms of transparency, the council needs to be more transparent where those specific social housing, where they're going to be allocated.
Frank, what are the public saying to you, Frank McBurty, in terms of, I don't know whether the population of the area, who's getting houses, who's getting accommodated, is there any concern in your area?
Well, I mean, I can't agree with what Tony said. Immigration has become a real issue on the doorsteps. Especially people worried about undocumented men coming into communities at 12 o'clock at night. But I have to say this, refugees and economic migrants, which are needed, they have the same rights as Irish citizens. But the immigration laws, full stop, have to be actually overhauled and re-looked at and new legislation put in place. But I have to say this, building social housing has to be built in areas that have the infrastructure. And I'll give a good example. Raphoe has two large secondary schools, two very good national schools, and two play schools. Hopefully, we'll be able to protect the play group in Raphoe and get a new building for them. But the infrastructure is... social housing has to be built in areas that have the infrastructure where people can get to the shop, get their children to school, etc., etc. Now, I give a good example. There was a development in Raphoe had planning permission for 65 houses, and the council had the first opportunity to buy that development from NAMA when it went belly up. Now, it's just an empty site which now has to be reapplied for planning permission. But that originally had 65 houses planned on it. Now, why wouldn't you build 65 social houses, afforded, some of it affordable housing, some of it social housing? I have many young girls that have single families that are crying out for housing. One issue that I think it needs to be seriously looked at in the council is the fact that they're not building enough three bedrooms. They're trying to push people into two bedroom houses. When they have more children, they then need a three bedroom, a four bedroom. These two bedroom houses, for the sake of an extra €10,000, build the three bedroom houses.
Okay.
Because you can't envisage a young family, a boy and a girl who is a child of maybe 3-4 years of age, who are in their mid-20s, they're going to have more children. To give them a two-bedroom house means that down the road they have to put in for a transfer, they have to move into a bigger accommodation. I have people that are 10 years waiting for transfers in Donegal County Council to get moved out of a two-bedroom house
into
to get into
one.
A three-bedroom house.
Yeah, okay.
And I mean, that's a huge problem
that's
in Letterkenny.
That's about stock management too, I suppose. Charles, what's being said to you?
Well, I'll just say before what's been said to me, when you're dealing with a commercial contract and you talk about a verbal agreement, then you are doomed.
Mm-hmm.
And that there is just sums up Donegal County Council's dealings.
I think it's so both parties have announced, but and I think there's been a slight adjustment in relation to that now.
But you need but you need the housing, so you should be, you should have a skilled negotiator doing the deal. The deal is a thing. So what I've heard about immigration, right, it's a big issue, okay? Definitely a big issue. I work in healthcare. We have, the majority of people working with me are fantastic. And they're from India, they're from Africa, and we need them. Now, undocumented males coming into the country that don't have passports, that, yes, it can't be tolerated, okay? It can't be tolerated because they have to be vetted. We need to protect our families. And if they're perfectly perfectly well and fit people for coming into our communities, then let them be vetted. Let's find
vetted,
out all about it.
Vetted, documented, and from unsafe countries.
Yes.
Yeah, great. Yeah.
Okay. That's what people want.
That's what people want. That's what people want. And I'll just say about that.
Do you think then the problem, which is unfortunate, is that what would seem as somewhat simple demands then are being sort of, you know, misused to imply that people are racist or people are...
Well, what it is you've got the government that are actually... they're actually helping their European brothers by taking in all these immigrants that they don't have the room for. We don't have the room. We don't have the services. Mm-hmm. And the way they're doing it, you know, this busloads in the night, moving people about, it's just... The government have not read the room. They've not read the room.
Okay, Garvin, did you indicate to come in there?
Just in terms of Charles, as we helped it. I mean, the Irish is one of the most welcoming countries in the world in terms of Irish persons. I mean, one of the most welcoming people in the world. And the whole area of social inclusion, I mean, we're very good at that, you know. And I mean, as Charles documented and a number of the other candidates here, in terms of the whole vetting and et cetera, needs to be brought on board, because only us that works with a football club or a school or any organisation has to be vetted.
Yeah, okay. Frank McBurtie, you wanted to come in there?
There's one big elephant in the room here when it comes to immigration, political corruption, and the fact that people are being made millionaires overnight. And I mean, I heard it in your debate the first day about a sitting county councillor who's actually taking people in here, and he's running around this county looking to buy properties up left, right and centre, and no company is actually in his name.
Yeah, well, listen, I don't know who you're talking about. And
I've done my investigations.
You can do that, Frank, and you can go on your Facebook or your YouTube channel and make those claims. I don't know who you're talking about or what the allegation is just that we can't talk.
Why are hotels
those things,
being bunged to the eyeballs? Getting tax-free money for putting refugees in.
Charles, did you want to come back?
I would just like to say too about the housing issue. Now, young couples, and you know who you are. You're all over the county. You're currently living in caravans because you can't afford houses. That's what's going on now. There's no more moving out of home with your partner and getting your first property, because 1,200 to 1,400 a month. You can't afford it. If you're wanting to buy a house,
okay.
people are living in caravans, yep, all over the place.
And just before,
another aspect here, 2,000 council houses have to be demolished.
Yes.
The scientific evidence shows that they have to be demolished. And the council now at the minute are not even telling the council tenants where they're going to put them. So, I mean, that's another
There's
huge an problem
anxiety,
coming down the
road. An awful
down
lot
the
of anxiety amongst those families as well. Just before we take a break and move to some other things, Tony or Garvin, did you want to come back in there at all?
I mean, I was born in my maybe 50s, and those of you in the swim in their 40s and 50s were lucky enough to own a home. Unfortunately, now it's a way, I don't know, young couple starting out, well, never, because I mean, in a catch 22, you're paying £1,200 to £1,800 a month in rent, which is a massive mortgage if you look at it, and then you have to have savings to get on the property, rather. So you're kind of cut. You're like a wee hamster, you're going around the circle and you're going nowhere.
Okay, listen, all of you, thank you. Did you want to come back in, Tony? Sorry?
Just to say that, you know, Ireland have to abide by their international obligations and show compassion to people.
Those are obligations, though, that, and I'm only saying it to you because someone's about to text it, those are obligations we opted into.
And there's been a symbolic approach from the government on this issue from the very beginning. The system simply isn't working. The system should be fair, it should be efficient, and it should be enforced. And neither of these things are happening at the moment. And people are right, we need proper communication with communities. There's genuine anxiety out there due to that lack of consultation.
Okay. Right, thank you very much for that. You are tuned to the latest in our debates here on the 9 till noon show. In studio with us, we have... we have Tony McDade, who you've just heard from, of Sinn Féin, Charles Ward, 100% Redress, Frank McBurtie Jr., an independent, Rebecca McDade of Ain't Do, and Garvin Connolly of Fine Gael. Do you want to fire the break from there? Thanks very much, Osh. And we have more of your questions, more of your comments coming in. I just want to remind you, too, as well, that our penultimate EU election debate takes place online, exclusively online, at 12:05. So if you want to watch that, we've got a number of candidates for you to either put questions to or hear statements from. That is coming up at 12:05 on YouTube. So stay tuned for that. Right, we'll be back with more from our local election candidates after we take this break. Okay, sort of a catch-all of a lot of issues in relation to services in the Finn Valley area, Lifford Stranraer, however it wants to be framed, supports for children's disability services, Donegal East, vacancy levels in Donegal East, CDNT still at 65%. This listener, Joe from SNPN Donegal, says, we really need our local representatives in Donegal East to support us all on this. And then there are question marks over services in St. Joseph's, the future of services in Lifford. What do you have to say about that, Rebecca? I mean, are you committing to fully back the CDNT families, the families campaigning in this area, to come up with some sort of a solution? Because there's
it's
a huge shortfall there in staff.
Because I'm an SNA, so I work with children with disabilities. And we have our candidate in Donegal Town there, Patrick Brogan. He is and working with the carers as well because he's four children that have autism. So this is something that's very, very deep with us in our hearts. We also have the children in school who are not getting assessed. Like every school is only allowed two children to be assessed per year, which usually they hold that for sixth class. But we are absolutely missing the whole thing with our children from first class up. Because when they go into junior infants, senior infants, they're finding their feet. They're only new. They're getting to know school and the how school works for them. But when you get into first class, you need to be able to assess the children. And the teachers, I believe, they do know. When you spend a certain amount of time with the children, you can weigh up exactly where they fit and how they process their information. And you know where they sit there. And the teachers have got to be given the help and the resources to work with that. So they're put into a class with maybe 30 odd children, you know, could be 32, could be 33 children. And it's like everything, there's no one size fits all. So there'll be children who maybe are more, say with dyslexia, that they need to be assessed at a very early stage so that they can be taught in a way that
they can maximise their potential.
To maximise their their potential. And that is something that is missing at the minute. So, yes, there is resources and they can be taken out of class and they can be getting help from that perspective. But there needs to be a proper assessment and there needs to be education that is delivered to them in a way that they can accept the information.
We've seen changes announced this year by the Department of Education that makes the allocation of additional teacher supports next year. There are changes to that. One of the changes is in qualifying criteria, access to additional supports in mainstream school settings. A lot of people say, for instance, with children with Down syndrome, that's not being counted as it was in the past. The Department of Education maintains, you know, no one's going to lose any hours. But I do know that is a major concern for parents out there.
Yeah. And like, and when we talk about inclusion, we want to include the children with disabilities in mainstream school. But and that has been an recognised quite a bit. But we have autism units in a lot of schools now, but there's so much more needing to be added to that too.
I mean, the complex need criteria is what I'm referring to. That's been refuted. Been taken out. Okay. It's been taken out, and now the government is saying that children, there's plenty of special classes now and schools to cater for their needs, but that's the opposite of inclusion, I would have thought. Yeah. Do you have concerns, Garvin Connolly of Fine Gael? Do you have concerns?
I actually work as a special education needs teacher in Northern Ireland in OMA. Mm. And actually, with the work, I mean, we're very, very lucky in terms of K. Gordon, the more nicer school, has quite a number of units. And I actually would have subbed there
Over the years
and a few other schools here in Donegal. And once Rebecca quite rightly said about the terms of actually getting the children tested early on. And one of the things also that I would have come across when I was out on the campus was the need for respite care for families with children with special needs, special areas. There is the service area, the HSE, but there's no building to send the children to. There's no place to send them to here in the county.
But in terms of a lot of these...
Of course,
and they're a big fundraiser coming up in August to extend services.
We just need
services.
And
I think that's part of the plan. But the positions in CDNT in Donegal East are funded in there, right?
Yeah.
But people can't be attracted to those roles.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is, given the fact that you work in the broad area?
It's a job as... It's a specific calling, I think, in life to work in that specific area. And, I would have qualified as a mainstream teacher over 20 years ago and went back into this about 3 years ago. And it's a specific calling. There's quite a number of people who would have started with me, someone, and they're all pulled up on it. So it's a specific calling, but it's a very, very rewarding calling. And, I mean,
we not need to sort of stop looking at it? Stop looking at it as a vocation and actually make sure we look at it as a very difficult job that you have to be inclined to do and make sure people are well rewarded for that.
And having the proper resources in place so that people will...
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll mix the orders up a little bit. Everyone's going to get their say, of course. Charles Ward, I know as part of some of the issues that you see is key. It's not just defective concrete.
No,
it is education. It is childcare, care in the community.
Yeah, so I'll just go into the other aspect. My wife runs the autism unit in the Finn Valley College, along with her sister, Ashling Conley. And they have a large number in there. They have a large number of SNAs that are in there helping them. But as I say, there's not enough. You know, they need more help. They need more funding. You know, it's in the community now, when these children get to a certain age and they leave school, what is there for them?
Mm.
Nothing. And somebody,
if it's not for iCare and BlueStack, from 18 on, there isn't literally nothing.
So,
as far as
so I'm aware. I'll just give you an example now. My wife and all that team there work; they give everything to them children, and they don't. It's a vocation. So I feel very passionate about that, and I feel for them that you invest in them from 11, 12 years, and then they're gone, and then you've got to switch off to the next crowd that come. And these next bunch of kids that are coming, you do the same thing. And it's just like a production line.
Why do we do that if we have sort of an 8 billion surplus, right? If we have 250,000 children now with all variation of needs who are disadvantaged financially. That it means to say that they don't often know where the next meal is coming from. How do you square that circle that we see the gaps in those services and we see the deprivation that 250,000 children are living in, and then we're told we're rich and we have 8 billion in surplus? Can you square that circle? Do you under? Can
right.
You...
So it's about community. It's about community activism. It's about getting these children that are vulnerable and helping them. I ran the youth club in Drumkeen for a number of years. I've worked with Freige, a Big Brother, Little Brother program.
It's a brilliant program.
And I've actually been to Freige when we've done the young mothers, when they take the young mothers out in outings, and I've actually gone and helped out with that too. And it's all about support. You know, people have different traumatic experiences in their life, and how you handle it is to do with the people that surround you. Okay, so I'll take, for example, me. I lost my father at 9, but the people around me helped me and I got over it. But there's children that don't lose their parents. So children that's parents have got issues, they've got depression, they've got other problems. But it's a matter of getting them. And, you know, just a simple thing is come up to youth club, having a cup of tea, having a talk. There's nowhere. You know, there is youth clubs and that there, but there's no... It's a lot now. People, especially with social media, people aren't associating the way they used to. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not hanging out the way they used to, and it's all face to face, is on the phone or it's on chats, and you don't see the problems.
Yeah, I get you.
Until it's maybe too late.
Okay, clearly something you're very passionate about. Yeah. As all of our panel are, Frank McBurty, obviously, you know, in this area, the area of mental health is one of your priorities as mayor of the county, and I'm sure this is coming up an awful lot, and not just in the election cycle, but through the course of your tenure on the council.
Well, as I say, it's okay not to be okay. So. But mental health is broken. And these services we're talking about now are also broken. I have a daughter, 14 years, that has been working in Little Angels, and they're getting a fantastic new facility built up here. But it's been too slow getting it. And, I mean, Rafoe National School, which is St Eunan's, we have the unit in the Rafoe Central, but Rafoe has now been given, St Eunan's have been given the funding for their unit. And they built on a fantastic, last year, they built on a fantastic new extension. But these are not being rolled out. There's no out-of-the-box thinking. Every school, in my opinion, and every community should have these facilities for the people of our area. But the political will is not there at national level to ensure that these things are rolled out. But the as councillors... We should be raising this on the floor of the council chamber and in representations through the floor of the council chamber to the national politicians, highlighting these issues on a daily basis. And that has not been done because of the bureaucracy and the power sharing agreement in Donegal County Council.
Would you say you haven't done it enough either, to be fair? I don't know what goes on in the council, but when you say we... Does that include yourself?
We all could be doing better. All could be highlighting the issues. The problem is that a lot of the individual cases that come to me are individual. They don't come to me
it's
as a group.
Issues
and what do you call it? With data protection and all the issues that go with it. Like, that's a problem as well,
mm-hmm.
That we have as politicians. A lot of the time now, the council, the HSE, the social welfare, no, sorry, you can't make political representations unless you've got a permission letter from the client to make those political representations. So you have to go back then, you have to write out the permission letter, get the client to sign the permission letter, and then you have to then start all over again, mm-hmm. doing the same process, making the same political representations.
Yep.
And this has been done at national level. This is all politics is local.
Yeah,
Whether you're a national politician in the county or not, all politics is local.
What organisations like the CDNT parents want,
but mental
is
health,
that
Greg,
they recognise that, look, maybe these changes can't happen on the floor of the council, but they can feel that the local public representatives have their back in their campaign, and that can be done through motions or whatever.
We don't have enough CPT therapists, the cognitive behavioural therapists. Yeah. We don't have enough people that deal with people with other mental health issues. Go back 20 years ago when I had my own mental health problems, which I discussed at that conference. I had the services. I had the Charlie McHughes and Dr. Tony Sharkey, who was a consultant psychiatrist in Letterkenny Hospital, and I'm not ashamed to talk about my own mental health problems, and that's a huge issue in Irish society, full stop. Mm. People should be able to share their experience about their own mental health problems. Mm. Suicide is a huge issue in this area, but it's a taboo that people do not want to talk about. Why are people committing suicide?
I just
want
to make sure, Tony... Yeah, indeed, that is the question. Tony McDade... your views on this?
I suppose the question needs to be asked, Greg. I think you alluded to yourself. There was, what, 8 or 9 million billion surplus from the HSE. Why is that
from
not...
In the state, not the HSE, but...
Yeah. The state. Why can that not be used? You know, there is a lack of willingness to support these different projects. When I worked in FOA over 20 years ago, there were one of the particular groups that we established was a group for children with learning differences. Now, I agree with Rebecca. You can't use textbook for every child in a room. They've all, it's about identifying those children's learning differences and pitching your teaching to those differences. I will fully support the CNT families if I'm elected to Donegal County Council. Okay. I have no difficulty bringing motions.
One point, Greg. Assessment of children at the spectrum. Mm. I have cases where people are still waiting at 14 years of age to be assessed under the spectrum.
No, unfortunately, we all have experience of that, I think, either directly or indirectly.
And that's not right. That's second. They're treating people like second-class citizens in this country.
Right. 30 seconds each, really, just to hammer home the point. Rebecca McDade of N2, why should people vote for you?
Well, I want to be able to treat everyone with dignity and respect. And I think that's something that has been lost in Irish politics, both nationally and locally. And I want to be able to support the people with common decency. And if I'm elected, what I can say to the people is, when they come to me with their issues, I will be asking the questions and I will give them the honest answer.
Garvin Connolly.
And from a rural farming background, I mean, one of the things I want to, if I'm elected, is I will be on the ground for people. I mean, one of the things I think is as a county councillor, we go around canvassing once every 5 years. You need to be on the vast and the vast town lands over the period of time that people can get access to. I mean, I want to be kind of there to help people in terms of their problems and to help signpost and make services a lot more accessible.
Okay. Tony McDade, what do you want to bring?
Well, as I said earlier, 40 years experience in community development, early intervention and prevention and family support. And I think I can bring that experience as well as my life experience to Donegal County Council. As I said earlier, we have 18 candidates standing right across the county. Of those 18 candidates are elected on the 7th of June. There's strengths in numbers. There's a lot of things that we can bring to the floor of Donegal County Council.
All right, Frank McBurty Jr. in 30 seconds.
Well, I want to continue to fight for people's rights, and that's why I got involved in politics in the first place. And I have been a full-time public representative doing that job for the last 15 years, and I think my reputation speaks for itself, the amount of people that I've actually helped in those 15 years. Okay. I can't help everybody. And I'll be the first to admit that I don't resolve everybody's issues, but a very large percentage of the cases that come to me on a daily basis, I get them resolved. I don't get them resolved the first time over. I might have to fight two or three different times, such as medical care has been appealed and carers allowance. You might have to go 3-4 times over the hurdles to get the result that the person deserves. But okay. We must emphasise that we are not second-class citizens in Donegal.
Thanks, Frank. Charles McDade, beg your pardon. Charles Ward, finally, 100% redress.
Yeah, so I'm going to, if I get elected, I'm going to be coming in, I'm going to be helping people with their defective concrete homes, but I'm also on the ground too, and I'm helping people with mental health issues, any issues. Anybody has any problems, they come to me. I'm about getting on with it, helping people. And I'm actually trying to get elected because I want the club broken up down Lifford. I want independent people in who think for themselves, that don't have to go to a party, and that can help people, finally help them.
Tony, Charles, Frank, Rebecca, Garvin, thank you very much for your contributions today. That's where we leave it. We'll be back with another debate tomorrow just after 10 o'clock involving local election candidates. And if you want to watch our European debate, get online from 12:05. And we'll be with you for an hour in that space. And stay tuned to the radio for John Bresnan. He's coming up around the Northwest, and he's out, I believe, at iMotors. So you've got a choice. See you soon.